Well, it's good again to be in church. We're looking forward to a good time in the Word of God as we take a couple of moments to look into what something I believe will be a help to us. Sometimes I'm afraid that oftentimes churches are like Pharisees were, and that is that we want to look and say, we've got it all figured out. If you poor sinners out there would just do everything we say, then we could help you out. Now, certainly we've got the Word of God. We can help anybody out, so I'm not saying that at all. But sometimes we want to look over our holier-than-thou attitude and look down at somebody else and say, boy, if you'd only get like I am. And instead, we're supposed to just be trying to give the Word of God to everybody and realize that there are going to be, if more people come to this church, you know what will happen? More struggling people are in this church because we already got a lot of struggling people. Somebody said, should every church have a rescue mission? And the pastor answered back, no, every church should be a rescue mission. That means we're all having problems. Some of you might have cleaned up a little better than somebody else. Somebody might not be battling with what somebody else is battling with, but we are all battling. We aren't all alike in that, but we are alike in the fact that we are battling. We don't have the same battles. So today, I'd like to just look at this aspect. I want to preach for a little while about that. And the passage we'll look at, I'll give it to you in just a moment, but is specifically about a woman that came to Christ, of course, and had to put her faith in Him if she was going to have salvation. But I'd like to make some parallels between not only that, but all of us that are saved this morning and the difficulties that we have and how we can overcome them through the power of Christ. So I want you to turn, if you would, to John chapter 8, verse number 4. John chapter 8. Verse number 4, while you're finding your place there in John 8, the Gospel of John, the New Testament, while you're finding your place there, I did hear the story about this farmer that he saw about three guys out in his barn, just looked like they weren't supposed to be there, of course, and he saw that out there and saw those guys, and so he was worried, and so he called 911. This was new to him. He's called 911, and he said, I've got three guys out the barn. He said, are they there at the house? No, they're not here at the house, but out the barn, I can see them messing around. And she said, 911 operator said, I'm sorry, sir, we don't have anybody. Nobody in that area. It's going to be a long time. We don't have anybody available. Tell you what, do just go in the house, stay in the house, lock all the doors, just go in a safe place and just wait. He thought, that's not much comfort. We got three guys out here ransacking my barn. He said, that's not much comfort at all. So he hung up the phone as he was instructed, and he called back about 90 seconds later. And he said, this is the same guy. I said, yes, sir, got your call. He said, well, don't worry about coming. I went out and shot all three of those guys, and so you can just come at your leisure whenever you want to and collect the bodies. They're dead. 4.5 minutes later, they had two state troopers, help me out up there, four sheriff deputies, two ambulances, and some other people. And they came there, and they said, where are they at? And they said, still in the barn. So they went out there, and they found the three guys still alive, and they arrested them, and all was well. But they came back to the farmer, and they said, sir, I thought you said you shot all three of these guys when you called back the second time. He said, sir, I thought you said nobody was available. So it all's in how you ask, I guess. Do you need me on this other one, men? We're going to look at John chapter 8, verse number 4. And I want to preach a message entitled, So You've Blown It. Now, specifically, we're looking at the woman that was caught in adultery. Oh, we all know the story. We know it so well. But as I mentioned, I see not only this plea to everyone that needs to be saved, but I want to pick out some applications to those of you who are saved. Verse number 4 of John 8. They say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he'd heard them not. I'm like you. I'd love to know what the Lord wrote in the ground down there. I've heard a lot of people that have given some suppositions, but who knows? Verse 7, so when they continued asking, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last.
And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now, specifically, as I said, the interpretation of that verse is this, and that is that you need to, that this lady was caught in the act of adultery, brought to Christ, and the Lord cleared the house out, and she realized that this was the Christ. And you know that story as well as I do, and perhaps she lived a life of constant sin, or maybe it was just one that she got caught up in one time. It doesn't say. But just like us when we needed saved, just like us when we needed to come to Christ, that we realize that our salvation was not going to be attained by our work. I remember lying in bed and laying there worried about, is this one on? Worrying about whether or not I would go to hell, worried about that I wouldn't go to heaven. And I remember that how fearful it was to be worried about eternity. And so as worried about eternity, then I got to a place where eventually I put my faith in Jesus Christ. And I bet many of you have done the same, that you can look back and remember how it was to not know whether salvation was yours or not. And so I say not only that to you today, that if you're here and you're saved, you're unsaved, it doesn't matter where you've come from or what you've done, but it matters that Jesus is the Savior. I just go on this one. It matters that Jesus is the Savior. And the point of my introduction is this, to say that this old church hasn't stood here so long by rejecting those that aren't quite good enough to come in the doors. This old church has stood, and churches before it and churches like it has stood by saying, whosoever will may come. But there's another message today that I'd like to share with you as well, and that is that it will give the instruction or give the application to that sinner that needs to be saved, but it will also be to those of you saved. Most of you in this room know the Lord as your Savior. And to those that know the Lord as our Savior, I'd like to give a few points as well. And so if the Lord will help me, I trust we'll overcome this little issue and we'll get into the Word of God together. Father, bless us now as our prayer. I pray, dear Lord, that you would help us as we seek you. And dear Lord, I pray that you would work on the hearts of my dear friends that are sitting in front of me today. I pray that you would be blessed, dear Lord, to use this time to bring us closer to you. And we'll thank you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we apply this today to those of us who are saved and unsaved alike, I want to pick out 3 points from this that I think will be a huge help in your Christian life. Because what I grow weary of is Christians acting like they don't have anything to worry about. What I mean by that is I grow weary of Christians that acting like they're at such a high level that they can't be touched by somebody else who might come into service tonight or come into church today. And boy, I'd never do those kind of things. Listen, my friend, if you can honestly say, well, I'm not bothered by that sin that they're representing, then you ought to thank God for His grace that's worked in your life, because either you got over it or you didn't battle one or the other, but it's still the grace of God. And so that's not the place for us to look down our long nose and say, well, I'm not like so-and-so over there. I want us to look this morning at what the Word of God says, and as we apply it to us in our Christian lives, about what this lady shows us, and you, if you've blown it, since you haven't lived exactly right since you got saved, I want to teach us this morning what to do
when we've blown it. Number one, I want you to look at verse number 7 as we apply it. Number one, you've got to get to Jesus. Verse number 7, so when they continued asking, he lifted up himself and said, he that's without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. You see, this lady was brought to the person that they wanted to condemn her, and this woman was brought to Jesus, who they thought surely he would say, well, she needs to be stoned, because that's what the Old Testament law was for if somebody got caught in that act. And we see that they came expecting him to do something that he didn't do. But she thought it was going to be the worst day of her life. Can you imagine the fear and the distraught in her mind as they're dragging her to this teacher, to this preacher, whoever they were going to bring her to? Can you imagine the fear in her mind when she thought, oh, it's all over for me? Of her life was when she, instead of meeting condemning eye, met Jesus Christ. And I would say to us this morning that you, yes, saved, yes, on your way to heaven, but you're going to still mess up. Has anybody lived perfect since they got saved in here? And we're not talking about we forgot to take out the trash on Wednesday. For a while it was on Tuesday. We called that Trash Tuesday. Now the house we're at now, it runs on Wednesday. We call that Waste Wednesday. Lord help us if they ever change the week to Thursday. I don't know what. We can't go back to Trash Thursday because that's already taken. But I'm not talking about you've done something wrong. You forgot to take the trash out. Now you're in big trouble when you get home. I'm not talking about you told a little white lie. There's some folks of us in this room that after we got saved, we disappointed our Savior. And I'm not condoning it. I'm not saying, oh, that's great, that's wonderful. But what I am saying, that it's going to happen to every Christian in this room today. And so you've blown it. So you've messed up. Not that you fibbed a little bit. Boy, you jumped all in there. Not that you waded out in the sin. You dove in on the deep end. And my friend, you've blown it. You've messed up. And I'm saying this morning, although God doesn't intend for you to do those things, there is remedy when you get to the cross. And I'm saying this morning to Christian people, number one, we've got to have a meeting with Jesus. If you're saved and you messed up and you've done wrong and you've gotten in sin, my friend, I need to tell you this morning, just like the woman caught in adultery, she only found help when she got to Jesus. You, as a person who is saved, is on your way to heaven, does know that heaven's your home, you are going to get help and remedy the same way you did when you first came to Jesus Christ. Not that you need to get saved all over again. Not that you need to be born again. That's not possible. But you need that fellowship renewed in your Christian life to make it sweet once again. Number one, we need to have a meeting with Jesus. So my friend, if you're there this morning, you got saved as a kid. I talked to somebody recently again that got saved on one of the buses that Preacher Lassie was the pastor here, and the buses were going to meet them somewhere. They said, yep, I got saved as a certain year old kid and knew for sure they were saved. I'm not saying you get saved all over again, but I'm saying when you get to that place where we mess up, this fellowship that we need renewed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, my friend, that's for you. I suppose everybody in this house has a junk drawer at your house, right? Some of you are saying, my husband doesn't have a junk drawer. So what's he got, a junk room? No, he's got a junk basement. I know. I feel your pain. I know some of you. All of us got a junk drawer. We had this little drawer in one of our houses that it had a little Tupperware bowl or some kind of little long skinny container, and it had everything in there. It had paper clips. It had keys and zip ties and bread ties and basketball, one of those little needles to inflate a basketball. It had batteries. It had this. It had that. It had coupons that were expired 14 years ago. It had everything in there you can imagine. Well, when it gets so big that the drawer won't shut that it's sitting in, you realize big things have to happen. And that big thing is you get a piece of paper laid out there and take that thing and just dump it all out there. There's batteries that were expired from 1972 in there. There's things that have never worked and probably never will work, but they would have if you'd have glued the piece on that you lost 3 years ago. But that container, that bowl, that junk drawer, whatever it was, it needed help from some outside source. And you're looking at the outside source, or else I am looking at the outside source for your junk drawer, because it's not going to do anything without you. And my friend, our lives get in such a mess, even as saved individuals. our lives get in such disorder if we're not careful that we need an outside source to turn our lives upside down as well. Sometimes it's just wonderful to have a good old-fashioned for the children of God, to have a good old-fashioned meeting with God, and to let Jesus Christ dump those pieces out and put back only the things that are helpful, the beneficial, the batteries that still work, the things that still function, the things that are still operational. Sometimes you're going to have to get to a place in your life where you say, Jesus, I've got to make a mess out of this thing down here. And if you don't say that, then it may be because we're too pharisaical. We just need to get to a place where we say, Jesus, I made a mess out of this, but I want you to straighten it out. You say, doesn't Jesus get tired of straightening out your messes? He hasn't yet. He said that if we'd come to Him and confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Number one, we have a meeting with Jesus. Can you think about the Apostle Paul, who on his way to kill more Christians had a meeting with Jesus on the road to Damascus? And he said in Acts chapter 9, verse number 5, he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he sure was right on that one. It was the Lord. And my friend, we can have all the self-help. We can get groups and we can have good books and we can have different things that will help us launch ourselves forward. Those may all help, but we need to let Jesus clean up our junk drawer. Confess our sins and get things out of there. And other things aren't sins, but they're weights that so easily beset us, my friend. I'm saying, first of all, we got to get to Jesus. Number two, I want you to think about this. And you've got to, number two, look at the facts, not the feelings. Now, presumably, this lady that was caught in adultery didn't have a television set when she got home, since it hadn't been invented, nor electricity. But can you imagine if she got home and found on the television that a group of Pharisees had reported about a woman caught in the very act of adultery, and even though this religious leader said she could go and sin no more, we still have our doubts. And Action News coverage came with the Pharisees live on the scene of how yes, that person named Jesus said she could go and sin no more and that we shouldn't stone her, but we don't think that's right. And then they would have drugged that up for the next seven-day news cycle. And she would have said, I know that's what he said, but maybe that's not what really happened. And I'm being whimsical in this, but can I tell you that the Word of God says, when you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1:9. But I've done that so many times, and then after I did it, do you know what the devil made me feel? Guilty still. And one of the greatest things that I could advise a Christian brother or a Christian sister to do is trust the Word of God, what He says. Is there therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus? Sure. It's what the Word says. But do sometime in your wickedness and sometimes in your frailties and your weaknesses, do you sometimes feel condemned? And what this lady had to do was take the Word of Jesus Christ. Neither do I condemn thee. Go thou and sin no more. I say, not only do we have to get with Jesus, but we also have to trust the facts of the Word of God. I doubted my salvation for so long, most of you know that. When I was a teenager, I knew what the Word of God said, but there was just something in me that wouldn't allow me to trust and believe. And I had to get to a point in my life where if the Word of God says it, one old preacher put it like this, the Word of God settles it, I believe it, and that God's Word says it, I believe it, and that settles it. And that sounded pretty good, but one preacher came along after me. He said, you know, he said, the Word of God says it, I believe it, and that settles it. He says, I can take out that middle one because he says, it doesn't matter whether I believe it or not, that really still settles it. The Word of God says it, and that settles it. I'm saying this morning, you and I need to trust the facts of the Word of God, not our feelings, not our moods. Martin Luther, the old reformer, wrote, feelings come and feelings go, and feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the Word of God. Naught else is worth believing. And so you may say, and I talk to many people that are having doubts about their salvation, and I look and say, did you do what the Word of God says? Would you know what else to do to ask Christ to save you other than what you've done? No. But I still feel guilty about my past life. I still feel this, and that is human nature. But I bring them back to the Word of God, and I said, you're going to have to trust this, not the feeling. And this morning, I think that some of my friends here and around the world are feeling things instead of faithing them and facting them by the Word of God. Let me give you an example. Sometimes we as churches, we get to a place where we feel like, oh, there's not many churches standing like this one, and there's not many Christians doing this, and maybe, maybe not. But can I tell you, like the Old Testament prophet found out, that there's still a large group of people who have not bowed the knee to Baal. You go into some situations, some stressful situations, and you'll find out at work or wherever you go, school, you'll find out God's got some of His remnant placed all these different places. We're not like Sodom and Gomorrah where you couldn't find 10 down there that would call upon the Lord. My friend, I'm saying that sometimes our feelings get us to say, well, it's just me. There's nobody else. No, God's got all that He needs to get His work done. I'm saying this morning that not only do you need to get to Jesus, but you need to look at the feelings, or look at the facts and not the feelings. Look at verse 11 if you would again. I give you this last one. We need to, number three, go on from there. Neither do I condemn thee, the Bible says that Jesus speaking, go and sin no more. Sometimes I'll tell young people when they come, our kids, and one will apologize for something they've done, been unkind or been naughty or whatever, and then the one feels bad and they say, I'm, that word we hate to say, sorry. But you know what? Sometimes I find that it's harder to get the one that got offended. I find it sometimes harder to get that one right than it was the one that did the offending. Especially if you're talking about saved kids at a Christian school or somewhere, the one that did the offending, they ought to feel bad. And they do feel bad if you've got the Holy Spirit of God living within them. But sometimes I find it's harder to get them, or harder to get the offended to get right than it was the offender. And I think that's where churches come in. We somehow think we've been offended by certain people, by society, by this, by the other. And sometimes it's hard for us to go on. I've told our kids that after your sibling says, I'm sorry, what else is there to do? You can't donate you can't say, here's a pint of blood for fact or verification that I'm really, really sorry. And I'm getting somewhere with this, as Jesus told the lady, neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. You say, wait a minute, wasn't that breaking the Old Testament law? Christ says He didn't come to break it, He came to fulfill it. But we see that He was the only one that could be issuing things like that. He was the one that could deal with sin. But for application today, I'm saying that that lady had to go on from that scene, as horrible as it was, and go on with new life in Christ. And when I mess up and when you mess up, my friend, I'm telling you, you can't bypass Jesus. You can't take the roundabout. You can't get around the other side. You can't slip down the back 40 and come around the long side and skip Jesus and get happiness or get healthiness. You can't do that and get over your issue. What you're going to have to do is make a beeline for Jesus. But then, my friend, after you come to Him and you see, you let 1 John 1 verse number 9 come to pass in your life and you do confess it, then you've got to, on the authority of the Word of God, go on from there. Can I tell you, there are many Christians that are stranded along the path of life around this church this morning, and here's what their issue is. They can't believe God can still use them. There's many a pastor that stood behind pulpits like this, and they went off the rails, and now they can't believe that God can still use them. My friend, we serve the God of grace. We serve the God of recycled. You say, well, can that preacher still get up there and preach? He may have done some things that won't let him have that pastoral ministry, but there's something he could do for God. My pastor always says, if they don't want me to, if they don't want me to preach, I'll be a helper to the preacher. If they don't want me to do that, I'll be a helper on the building. If they don't want me to do that, I'll mow the grass. If they don't let me do that, I'll look off the side and wish I could. There's always something for us to do. And I'm saying this morning that not only do we need to get to Jesus, if you're here this morning and you haven't lived the life that a Christian person ought to live, I'm not here to say shame on you. You already know that. I'm not here to say you shouldn't have. You already know that. My friend, here's the reason why. If you're a Christian this morning, you can't live like an unsaved person and be glad about it. I don't need to convict you. That's what the Holy Spirit of God does to your life. He brings all things into our remembrance. He teaches us and shows us. So you already know you shouldn't have done that. So that's not my intent for the message this morning. My intent for the message this morning, yes, so you've blown it. Get to Jesus. Lord, I confess it to you. Forgive me. And now let's go on for the glory of God. There's too much to be done for His glory. Too much to be done before He takes us on to heaven. You've blown it. Get back up. You backslid on God, confess it to Him, and get back up. You failed. You quit on Him 10 times. Confess it to God and get back up. You've given up. You've said dumb stuff. You've done dumb stuff. Give it up. Or go to Jesus, rather, and get back up. I love the story of Peter. Peter, the loud-mouthed disciple, you remember him? He said, Lord, no, it don't matter about what anybody else does. I'll be with you. I'm your guy. I'm your man. I know you like John. He's always over there close to you, but the real one's me. I'm the one. I'm your guy. I'm your boy. And he says, I'll never forsake you. What's he do? He does it 3 times. And goes out and weeps bitterly. And then before you know it, in the book of Acts comes along. He's the one. He's the megaphone that God puts up on the podium to preach when 3,000 people come to faith in Jesus Christ. I love it. You say, you mean you love that Peter got sin and denied the Lord? No, I don't love that part, but I love the part that God still uses people that don't always do right. Lewis Talbot was from Australia and grew up in the brewery business. His family was in a distillery brewery, came to America, went to Moody Bible Institute back years ago, got born again, and got a burden to go to Los Angeles and pastored the Church of the Open Door. Here's a guy came from brewery money, from distillery money, alcoholism, and all of the problems that it brings, and chose to make a turn from where his family had always been and pastored the Church of the Open Door. At one point had 3,500 members coming and 1,000 in Bible college, preparing to serve the Lord, hundreds of missionaries. That's somebody who took some things in the past and left them in the past. You know what the Scripture says, right? This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark, the prize of the high calling of God. Please don't come to me and say, I don't think I can be used of the Lord. The only thing makes you unusable is an unwilling heart. You say, yeah, but look at all I've done. Yeah, but look at all He can do. You say, I don't think I can do what I once did. Doesn't say you can do what you once did. You may have ostracized your adult children so far to the point that they don't want to see you, but you can still pray. You can still work on their life. You can still wait for God to do something in their lives. You can still go forward for the Lord. I went to a conference recently, and several of the staff from this church were reached as bus kids through their bus ministry and came all the way up through, and now we're serving their Christian school and their college. I'm saying this morning that if you've got something in your life that isn't quite right, as a Christian now, you need to get to Jesus. Believe His Word. Don't trust your feelings, because your feelings are going to tell you you're worthless, you can't do anything. With that big mistake, you'll never be anything. You'll never be the parent you're supposed to be. You'll never be the wife you're supposed to be. You'll never be the neighbor or the family member you're supposed to be. You'll never be the church member you're supposed to be. You'll never be the this. You'll never be the that. Your feelings will lie to you every time, because the devil will make sure that you feel condemned and defeated and depressed. But I'm saying this morning that you need to not only get to Jesus, but then when you get there, believe the facts of this word, this book, instead of the feelings that conjure up in your heart to say that I just don't feel like I'm good enough. My friend, if we're going by who's good enough, then none of us qualify. And after you believe the facts and not the feelings, then get on. This last Bible illustration, you remember Joshua when Moses was dead. And Joshua was mourning, grieving. He got to a place where God said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now get up. And sometimes, my friend, we look so hard back at our defeats that we can't believe that there's successes in the future. We look so many times at the wrong we've done in the past, we can't believe that God would ever let me have a happy home again. My friend, I hate to say it, I don't know how to say it any other way, but God thrives and God shines out on recycling junk. Because we're His frail creation. And He wants to use you and He wants to use me. So if you've blown it in here, let me tell you what that makes you. Normal. But I'm asking you if you've blown it. Maybe you've blown it in your marriage. Blown it in your family. You say, I don't know if my kids will ever forgive me. I don't know that it will ever work out. Well, they give you the formula again. Number one, meet with Jesus. They came and drug and I'm sure threw that lady down right in front of him. And she thought it was the worst day of her life. Turned out to be the best day of her life. Meet with Jesus. Believe and meet with the facts of the Word of God instead of those feelings down that think, well, she already thinks I'm a loser. She already knows I've messed up. I hollered and screamed at her, or I did this, or I did that. Believe that there's hope and there's help in the Word of God. That God can make you what you need to be. God can work in your life again. And believe the facts of that instead of the feelings that you have. And then launch out from here. You know what somebody can't do? Let me show you this and we'll be done. I know that people keep bringing up your past. Yeah, but you're the one that did that. Yep, that's right. And you can't deny it because it's back there. But let me tell you what they also can't do. You can't deny that because it's back there. But here's what they can't do. They can't dictate your future. You're from here. A point in the sand, a rebellious teenager that wants to stop at a church service where that was preached about honoring their parents. They can't erase all that back. They can go to Jesus and get it forgiven, but they can't take that out of their history. But what they can do is, from now on, I want to honor father and mother. Somebody who's been mean as a snake to his wife or a lady to her husband, and they've done this and they've done the other, that can't be denied, yes. But also what can't be denied is that I can go on from here in the power of the Lord to do better. My friend, we're at the greatest spot in your whole life. The future is only as bright as the promises in that book. Don't tell me what, oh yeah, but look at these bad negative blights on my past. Don't tell me that. Your future is only as bright as the promises in that book. And I'm challenging you to grab it when you go out of here. And whatever's been done in the past, you put it in the past, you brought it to Christ, you said, Lord, forgive me, and now we go on. For the glory of God. And if you're here today and you are like the woman here and you found yourself smack dab in the presence of Christ, but you know that you're not even saved, my friend, you can't nor would you deny your past. But I can tell you this, if you'd come to Jesus Christ in faith, believing on Him for salvation, Jesus Christ promises to take those sins and forgive them And you could become a new creature, as the choir started off this morning in, that I've been changed. And I pray that if you need to be saved, you would. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this time together. I pray, dear Lord, that you would bless each and every person in this room. I pray, dear Lord, that if there's one or several that are unsaved, that today they would realize the only way to have a home in heaven, the only way to have a new life is through Jesus Christ. Otherwise, they'll spend an eternity separated from them in a horrible place called hell. And Lord, I pray if there's somebody who needs to be saved, they would be. And then I pray, dear Lord, for some Christian in this room that's been beat down, their memories, the depression that the wicked one has put them in, the despondency, dear Lord, the guilt that's riding hard on them. Dear Lord, I pray you'd give them freedom today. Lord, I pray you'd let them break free from that. And that's only going to happen through your power. I pray they'd go on from here, and we'll thank you for it all. Would you stand together with us as the ladies begin to play? If God has spoken to your heart today, I ask you to come. If you're here and you're not sure you're saved, Brother Daniel is going to stand right here in front of the pulpit with the Bible and would love to take it and show you how you can be saved. I know it's hard to come forward on an invitation such as this, but here's my invitation to you. Right there where you stand, I know that we get guilt-ridden over the things that we've done, even as Christians. My friend, I'm not trying to whitewash them, soft soap them, or say that it's not that bad. What I am saying that, what the Word of God says, we confess those things to Him. He is faithful and just to forgive us those sins. That was written to Christian people. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you're here today, and you've made a mess of it since you've been saved. Oh, thank God that He will forgive us, restore that fellowship, and we can go on from here. Would you take Him up on that? Thank you. May look this way. I don't want you to forget that next week is Baptism Sunday. Perhaps you've been saved, but you've never been baptized after you got saved in deep water. And you'd like to follow Christ in believer's baptism by immersion. Then I challenge you that you can call this week. You can talk to Brother Daniel, talk to me, or Brother Kyle, or Brother Dan. And after the service, say, I'd like to do that. Next week, we'll meet with those that are interested in being baptized at 10 o'clock over in the Family Life Center, just to make sure you have any questions, make sure we get any the logistics worked out and all that. But we'd like for you to pray about that. That's a first step of obedience after salvation. You ought to be baptized. And then, on a lighter note, 2 weeks from today is our Surprise Sunday. And we're going to have a lot of fun with it on that day. Our Sunday school teachers and workers are working on some things that will be fun in their Sunday school classes. But then we'll have a lot of things going on in this auditorium 2 weeks from today. And we're going to have a great, great day on Surprise Sunday. And we'll have a fun time together. So that's coming up in 2 weeks. Thank you for being in church this morning. And I want to say that Amy and I will be praying for you. Invite you back this evening. Be praying for the Musgrove family this afternoon. And we'll trust that we can be a blessing to them. God bless you. You're dismissed.